Well, I too would like to welcome you to Hope Community Church, a caring place where God transforms lives. And as we begin this morning, there's two ways that you can follow along with our message today. The first is inside the bulletin, and there is a half sheet outline if you'd like to follow along with that. But also, the ushers, if just by showing of your hand, if you'd like to follow along with a Bible, you are more than welcome to do that as well, and they can get one to you. We have been looking together at the book of Colossians, where we have been in the series, It's All About Jesus. So what I need from you right now for the next few moments is to help me, because we're going to do a pop quiz about what our theme has been in our series here. So you're going to fill in the blank, and I'm going to read to you, okay? So you ready? It goes, in Christ we are... Okay, it sounds like you haven't even woken up yet. Let's try that again. In Christ we are... We live for His... Oh, okay, let's try that again. In Christ we are... We live for His... Okay, we're going to say that all together, that whole one phrase. You ready? In Christ, we are complete. We live for His greatness. What have we been saying about our series? We've been saying this, is that Christ is enough. And we said that our lives are to be lived for God's unending reputation. That's what we've been saying about our series here in It's All About Jesus. Over the past couple of weeks, what we have heard in our series is that, once again, in Christ we are complete, in Christ we are cleansed, and also in Christ we are conquerors. And that's all because of what Christ has done for us. Last week, our Father's Day message spoke of fathers, and I wasn't here, but I was able to listen to it online this week, and it spoke to us about fathers. Be men who share the truths of God with your children. And so as we begin this morning together, how many of you are familiar with a conspiracy theory? Okay, a few of you. Now, what I've come to understand about a conspiracy theory is this, that it is a belief about some secret but influential organization that is responsible for an event or an unexplained event. Let me give you some examples. There are conspiracy theories about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. There are conspiracy theories about the attacks of 9/11. There are even Bible conspiracy theorists. They say that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, that he had children, and that he never died on the cross. And one of the fictional portrayals of that conspiracy theory was found in the book and in the film, The Da Vinci Code. Now, I'm not going to focus on that this morning, but what I want to say to us as we go to our text is this, is that there was conspiracy going on within the church at Colossae. You see, there were false teachers there, possibly Judaizers, and I'm going to share in just a moment what a Judaizer was. But that's what was going on. And what Paul is doing that we see here in Colossians this morning is that he is sharing the errors of those false teachers. And he's also sharing with the new Gentile Christians there to resist their false teachings and their false instructions. So our message here this morning is joined at the head, growing in Christ. Joined at the head, growing in Christ. If you're following along in your outline, what we want to say today is our main idea. What we want to wrap our minds around is this, is that we grow in Christ when we stay connected to Him. We grow in Christ when we stay connected to Him. You see, sometimes, even in my own life, and maybe you as well, is that we get caught up in the Christian life about doing stuff. We get caught up with just saying the right things. And maybe sometimes we get caught up with even just what sounds good or what looks good. And oftentimes we begin to drift away from Christ and His truth. But yet what we can see here in our text as well this morning is that you and I, when we stay connected to Christ, we live in the reality that it is in Christ that we find truth and that salvation is found in Christ alone. So let's take some time together and look at this passage of Scripture. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 2, and this morning we're going to look at verses 16 through 19. Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 to 19. Beginning with verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." So once again, we're going to see two conspiracies that were going on here in the church at Colossae, but what we're also going to see is the truth claims that to debunk these conspiracies. So that's what we want to do for the next few moments together, is talk about the Jesus conspiracy. We want to talk about the Jesus conspiracy. What we want to do is see these conspiracies that sometimes we can buy into in our Christian lives, but we also want to see how we can counter that with the truths of God. So let's look together at our first conspiracy, and it's this. It's that outward trumps inward. Our first conspiracy is outward trumps inward. What we see here in verses 16 and 17, once again, Paul is sharing the errors of the false teachers who were possibly Judaizers. Now, Judaizers were Jews who became Christians, and they said that it was Jesus plus all the things that a Jew observes. Okay, so it's Jesus and they were sharing that with the Gentile Christians who were new in the faith there at the Church of Colossae. They were saying that leave your Christian freedom under our control, and you make sure you observe everything that we tell you to do. And see, what was happening is that they were saying, observe this festival, observe this celebration, observe that Sabbath day. And yet, if it were me and I were one of those new Christians, I would kind of be a little confused, but at the same time, I may have said, well, if that's what it's all about, if that's where it's at to be a Christian here at this church, then that's what I want to do. It would be like me saying today, you know what, I am so glad that you all are here at Hope Community Church. And for those of you who have professed a faith in Christ, work with me because you're new Christians, okay? Okay, good. All right. So here's where really it's at. Now, it starts with drinking Starbucks. Okay, so if you're going to be a Christian here at Hope Community Church, Mark, I'm going to give you a Starbucks mug, and I'm going to give you some instant coffee there. That's where it's at. Okay? All right, good. So if you want to be a Christian here at Hope Community Church, that's where it's at. See, Barb's one of those. Okay. But work with me, Barb. That's Star Yucks or something. That's not the real deal. Now, but where it's really at to be a Christian here at Hope Community Church, Stephen, is to be a Dallas Cowboys fan. Now, I have... Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So here you go. I got you a jersey, and let's see who else. Look, Bev, you can have you a jersey. That's where it's at to be a Christian here. There you go, Malachi. That's really where it's at to be a Christian here at Hope Community Church. You let me worry about your freedom in Christ, and it's all where it's at is doing those things. Now, folks, I will need those things back because I do value the. Well, you can keep yours in, but the other ones I'd like to have back. But here's what Paul is telling them at Colossae. He's saying, "Do you not remember what I told you earlier in my letter? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, Paul goes on to say, he says, listen, in verse 6:17, excuse me, he says, "These are a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." You see, when God sent his son to this earth, and when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he said to the religious leaders, he said, "Everything that God set up for the people of Israel, I did not come to get rid of. I came to fulfill everything." And understanding that you can't do it all, but it's through me that it can be accomplished. And Christ, what he did was, there was prophecy that was spoken of the one that was to come, who would die for the sins of humankind. And Christ came and he died for the sins of humankind. He nailed all of sin onto the cross, and he died. And when he died, he rose. And as I've shared many times here before, he rose from the grave by the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus himself said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and in me you will find life when you remain in me." You see, if we remember from a couple of weeks ago, Paul was saying before he even got into, don't let them judge you by what you eat or drink, by what Andrew shared with us. Let's look together at verse 13 of Colossians. This is where it's at. It says, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code and its regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." He was reminding them that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm here to tell you today what God's word tells us. It is Christ crucified. It is Christ raising from the dead. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the one true King. And because of that, you and I can live in the fact that it's not about outward trumping inward. Sometimes we do live that way. It's about the appearance. Sometimes it's about doing those things, not just within our church circle, but sometimes even in our own lives. For me, there is family that I have who sometimes I feel that if I just had a little more finances or I had a better education, then maybe they would kind of lean towards me when we all get together. I don't know if any of you have that. But when we had time away, and I love this family, they love me too, but it's just like, wow, what if I made more money? What if I had more education? And yet what I begin to see is God's truths come out. And he reminds me that my love for you is unconditional. My love for you will never fail. It will never give up. And it will never run out. And why do I share that with us? Because this is the truth claim in the conspiracy, is that we live inside out. We live inside out. You see, when you and I choose to live outward, really, do we live in the freedom that we have in Christ? Would you Eagles fans really be excited to wear that Cowboys jersey and to say, that's where it's at? Not really. We don't live in freedom. And see, when you and I live inside out, we understand that it is God's work in our lives through his Holy Spirit that we participate in his work as he grows us into becoming like his son, Jesus. And not only that, it's Christ that guides us and directs us in our everyday lives. It is Christ who is involved with our decisions in our lives. You know, Romans chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's where it's at. It's living a life that is right before God because we are living by his standards. It is having this internal calmness that goes beyond words. And it is, no matter what happens in our lives, we have a contentment that goes beyond happiness. You see, I get caught up too, not just even with family, but it used to be, I used to get caught up with the appearance of what a church service should be. And it was like, well, if that pastor was just a little bit better, and if that music would have been to my liking, things would be okay. And that's how I defined worship. But it wasn't until God showed me that, Jeff, your life is an act of worship. It's all about surrendering your life each and every day to me and making sure that your allegiance is to the one true King. When I got that, it made things a lot better in my life. So that where I came into a church setting, it wasn't about, what have you done for me lately, God? It's about, God, will you teach me what you want me to learn today so I can be more like you? You know, one of my prayers for the past couple of weeks for our church has been this, is that when our VBS begins tomorrow and runs Monday through Friday, that we wouldn't just be about, well, here I am, and I'm going to do my thing, and the kids are going to get awesome crafts, and there's going to be crazy stuff going on, and this, that, and the other thing. But my prayer has been, even for me, that because what God has done for me in my life, that I would want to share that, that those kids would know that there's a God who loves them and wants a personal relationship with them. That's been my prayer for our church. And hopefully that you will do that even tonight and throughout this week. That the God that we know, the God that we serve, the God that we live for, that these kids would know him in a real and intimate way. So the question that we can ask ourselves this morning when it comes to outward trumping inward and understanding is living inside out is this. What areas are we just doing Christianity? What areas of our lives are we just doing Christianity? Or even put this way, I asked our students probably about a month or so ago, I said, what are things that you would do outside of church that you wouldn't do inside church? And they were like, oh, where are we doing Christianity? The author C.S. Lewis put it this way. He said, God doesn't want something from us, he simply wants us. God doesn't want something from us. He just wants us. And what I'm learning more in my own life, it's about a person who is becoming. God created us as human beings. And so when we choose to be a follower of Christ, and we grow and we stay connected to him, the byproduct of that will be the doing. I truly believe that in my heart of hearts. You know, I was challenged before, you know, well, I want to be this in my life. Well, be who you want to become. If we say that we want to be people who stay connected to Christ and to live for him, let's be who we want to become. And then the byproduct will be the doing God's purposes in our lives in this world. And so we see together that the conspiracy was outward trumps inward. And yet we see the truth claim in that is that we can live inside out with God's help, with God's prompting, as we participate in his redemptive work in our lives. The second thing is this, is that human ability over God's power. Human ability over God's power. You see, what we saw first in that first conspiracy was really legalism. And now the second thing we see in our second conspiracy is what's called mysticism. Now, mysticism is a, how could I put it? It's more of an idea that there are secrets about God that only a select few people know. And that's really kind of the thread that's been going through Colossians as Paul has been debunking this. And what happened in this was that it brought out arrogance. It brought out pride in the false teachers. Next week, Scott's going to be sharing some more of this type of way of thinking and ideology. And what was happening was really it was bringing about more of a personal experience, more of a spiritual high than it was about allowing God to reveal himself to his people. You see, God reveals himself to us through his word. He reveals himself to us through prayer. He reveals himself to us through his spirit. He reveals himself to us through the church and through others. It's not about the next best thing. I can't wait for that next worship service. Well, what part? Your life, music, prayer, the word, where are we at? And so what we begin to see is that the false teachers were saying, look at me. Look at what I know. Man, if you only knew that, boy, you'd know where it's at. And it had nothing to do with God. You know, Tina and I were, and Emily were a part of a church not too long ago that we had some people within our church who were that way. They were saying, man, if you just knew these things about God, these special spiritual stuff, man, you know, you would be on this next level kind of deal. And you know what that did in our church? It brought disunity. It didn't bring unity. It brought disunity in our small group. It brought disunity in our church because they were saying, well, let's tell the leadership this is the direction that we need to go. And fortunately, they left. The church said, you must go. This is not bringing unity or harmony within the people of God. Because they made it about them. This is about me. Now, how does that look for you and I this morning? We are going to come up against things that sound good and look good. You and I are going to come up against things that when we face them, even in our own life situations, sometimes we can say, you know what? I can handle this problem. This is not too big for God. God, you have like a whole bunch of people and like creation to keep moving around and all, so I'll handle this one. Or we may feel that, God, you can't handle this situation because you've never been through it. And that's when we begin to get in danger of drifting away. To where, you know, it's like the DirecTV commercials. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but it starts out with like when you lose your cable or your cable bill's too much. You with me? Okay. And then there's a series of events that happen. And at the end of the commercial, it's like, you know, don't let this happen to you. You know, get rid of cable and get DirecTV. Okay, I'm just going to need to show it to you because I can't explain it very well. So Alex, if you get the lights and then Jeremy and then we'll get back together. So there you go, right? So it's kind of, you know, sad but true, and it's funny, but yet at the same time, if we think about it, even in our own lives, we have situations that arise. We have situations that arise that maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe that bill came in that was unexpected. Maybe it's just us to saying, you know what, God, I thank you that you're in my life, but I'll handle the rest until I meet with you. And there's thing after thing, because the stuff starts to sound good and the stuff starts to look good that doesn't line up with the Word of God. And then we say, how did I end up getting here? You know, to where maybe it's like, you know, just get rid of your own human ability, get rid of your pride, get rid of your arrogance, and get Christ and stay connected to Him. You see, what we can understand is that our truth claim that debunks this human ability over God's power is this, is that we are powerless without Christ. We are powerless without Christ. Now, when I make that statement, that applies to me as well, because that is a life lived in humility. That is a life lived with, as we've sung many times here, we raise the white flag. We surrender all to you. Paul goes on to share about ligaments. Now, what I've learned about ligaments, and I did ask Jess before we got started, was ligaments are connective tissue that connect bone to bone. Now, if we didn't have ligaments, Jess told us that, well, we'd really be like jellyfish. That's what we would be like. So, you know, and I put here in my notes, I said we'd be like blobs, but, you know, Jess was kind enough to say, no, genius, you'll be jellyfish. So could you imagine if we didn't have ligaments that hold us together? You see, when I think about ligaments holding us together, when you and I come to a place and recognize that we are incapable of living this life without Christ, helping us live through this broken world, we remain connected to Him because He is the one who supports us. He is the one that holds us together. You see, you and I don't need to believe in a person. We don't need to believe in an institution. We don't need to believe in a discipline that says you'll have a better experience with God if you do this. You and I, as followers of Christ, can believe that it is all in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. But we have to choose to remain connected to Him. You see, sometimes I'm guilty of even my own human ability. You see, as you know, for my job, this is what I do. I prepare for Sunday or I prepare for Wednesday to get ready for students or here. And sometimes in my mind, I'm going, well, that's my time, personal time with God. Because really, I'm learning stuff. I'm just learning to share it with you or to share it with the students. And yet, it's in those moments where sometimes I take a break from writing or take a break from studying where it's like, you know, Jeff, you do have a personal relationship with God outside of this church. And that's what triggers me to say, you know what, you're right. Because there's times I've shared with our students, you know, pray for me because sometimes I get lazy and I miss spending time with God. But I'm doing it here for church. But yet God shows me in His Word that He wants me to grow, to become the man of God He's called me to be the father, to be the husband, and to be the friend that He wants me to be on this earth. And so for you and I, when it comes to stay joining staying joined to Christ, excuse me, is this. Students, I need you to help me, so you need to speak up, okay? Students? Okay, good. Thank you, Jeff. But what do we say all the time? You get out of it what? Yeah, you get out of it what you put into it. So let's say that together. You get out of it what you put into it. And I think of Paul when he writes here in Philippians 3:14, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's what I'm pushing to. And I am incapable of doing that without the work of God in my life. If I want to do it on my own, I will get to those places every time and say, how did I get here? When I could have just stayed right there. But yet we're all like that, aren't we? We say, we can do it. We can do it. But yet God's saying, remain in me. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. So the question that we can ask this morning when it comes to human ability over God's power and seeing that God's truth tells us that we are powerless without Christ is that where do we feel that we don't need Christ to live for him? Where do we feel we don't need Christ to live for him? Or another question can be, what are your triggers? What are the things that say, you know what, whoa, I have not taken time with the one that I say I love? It may be, I know it's for me, it's in those moments of silence. It may be for you, it may be a song. It may be being outside and going, wow, you know what, I need to reconnect with my Creator. But it may even be in those times where we say, how did I get here? So what are your triggers? Where do you feel that you don't need Christ to live for him? The folk band Mumford & Sons has a song called Awake My Soul. And one of the lines in there was just really struck me this weekend. It says, where you invest your love, you invest your life. Where you invest your love, you invest your life. Let it be Christ who you stay joined to. Allow him to be the one to support you and hold you together. But this all begins with a life of humility and surrender to him. So we've taken time this morning and looked at conspiracies that we saw going on here in the Church of Colossae. We saw the truth claims that go with that. That it's living inside out. That it's understanding that we are powerless without Christ. And so this morning, you know, I think about the book, The Da Vinci Code, or conspiracy theories about the Bible or about Jesus. And I think about those and I'm like, you know, in all reality, they're going to be around us. You know, and they're going to come and they're going to go. But what we can understand and the truth that we can live in is that God's word is unending. And God's word is unchanging, and God's word will go on forever. And so why I share that is that for you and I this morning, we will encounter conspiracies in our lives. You and I will come up against things that we may go, well, is that really true? Or, well, that does sound true. Or, wow, well, here I am. How did I get here? But what we have seen today this morning is that when we remain connected to Christ, we can live in his truth and live in the reality that he is truth and salvation is found in him alone. So the question that we want to ask ourselves is, where am I drifting away? Where am I drifting away? Where am I living a life more of show and tell than I am allowing God to work in me to bring Christ out of me as I am becoming more like his son? Where am I living a life that says I can support myself, I can hold myself together? God, you know, you're real busy. I can handle it. Where are we when it comes to those things? Because if it's not Christ, then the question would be, who's supporting you in your life? Who is supporting you? You know, as we close this morning, there's a passage in Acts chapter 4. And in Acts chapter 4, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John are speaking to religious leaders. and they're sharing about where salvation is found. And I want you to hear where salvation is found from God's word, because that'll debunk the things that we have heard today. And if you believe these truths, these are things that we know to be true. And not only that, I want us to hear the final sentence and how the religious leaders responded. Let's take a listen. Beginning at Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." They're speaking of Jesus. "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus." They were astonished that these men had been with Jesus. When you and I remain connected to Christ, we will be people who choose being. And as a byproduct, we will do the purposes that God has ordained for us in this world. When you and I remain connected to Christ, it will be Him that we point to first before we ever point to ourselves, and understanding that we are incapable of living life in this broken world as we wait for His return. So I want to encourage us to not buy in to the conspiracies or not buy into the lies of this world, but that we stay connected to Christ. That is my prayer has been for this past week as I've been preparing. And so I just pray that this is where you say, "I want to be one who grows in Christ because I stay connected to Him." Jesus said, "Remain in my love. Remain in my love." Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you and we understand, God, that you are the one true King. Not only that, Father, you know, there are times, and even in my own life, where I think that I can do this Christian life, and sometimes I end up running on fumes. Sometimes I end up just feeling weak. And it's in those moments, God, that I realize that I need you. God, forgive us when we've drifted away. God, show us how to stay connected to you. Show us how to remain in your love. Show us, God, how we don't need to be the hero in your redemptive story. God, you are the hero. God, you are the one who orchestrates everything for our good and for your glory. And so, Father, may we, as we close this morning, we understand that there are many things that need to happen after the church service. But I pray that we will reflect on your words and your truth that was spoken this morning. God, that we would choose living inside out. God, that we would choose surrender and humility as we remain connected to you. We thank you for what you've done for us, God, and that portrayal was on a cross. And Father, I pray for those who this morning are struggling, whether it's in their relationship with you and asking, "Well, how did I get here?" Or Lord, for those who may not have a connection with you, that they see today that, Lord, your grace and your mercy acted through your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave it all. May we be people who do so this week, that we remain in you and stay connected to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.